And it's 7:08. In case you didn't know it, it's cold, really cold. You may have discovered that this morning if your car didn't start, or if you know your pipes blew, or something like that. I hope none of that happened to you. Mark McKenzie here with us this morning.
How are your everything warmer now?
It is. I have a Diet Coke, too. I got my Diet Coke, so I'm all set.
My hands are not. I actually used, I made some toast this morning for breakfast, and I'm going to admit on the air that after I made my breakfast, yeah. I actually turned on the toaster again with nothing in it just so I could warm my hands. It was only one cycle, so I don't feel, I mean, I.
So if I see you hugging the toaster over there the next segment, I'll know that things have gotten worse in the studio.
You know what? That's a great, maybe I should bring it back. It'll be my heater.
Unplug it, bring it over, hang on to it, go in, plug it in for the next segment. Every other segment, bring it over, just give it a hug.
That's an idea.
Toasters are people, too.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. You know, but see, we're just constantly reinventing here.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Really.
American entrepreneurship.
I'm sure Dave Spiegelmeyer is really enjoying this. He's a Marcellus Shale Coalition spokesperson. And the big question is, and this really relates to what we're talking about, actually, how is local natural gas production helping folks stay warm for less during this really brutal cold snap? Dave, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, Gary. How are you? And happy to hear you guys.
Have you ever turned a toaster on just for the warmth?
That's true. Unconventional sources of heat there. And you heating your hands with a toaster is pretty special.
Yes, it is. I noticed how you said that. I mean, that's one of those ways of saying something where you might be thinking that person was an idiot, but you don't really say it. Is that right? Is that what you're doing?
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, okay, all right. So we're putting words in your mouth already. We don't even know you, and we've got you lined up here in the sights. So anyway, great to have you in this morning. It is terribly cold out there, but, you know, Marcellus Shale, we've talked a lot about it over the last bunch of years, and now we're getting to see over long term, whether you like Marcellus Shale or you don't, if you're somehow an opponent of that, I don't know. We're getting to see some of the savings maybe that we're looking at right now. Are we seeing big savings right now during this time?
It's been incredible for Pennsylvania, Gary, and you don't really have to look very far to have comparison. Pennsylvania consumers this winter will see savings on their natural gas, purchase natural gas costs for in-state utilities are anywhere from 54 to 81% less than what they were back in the winter of 2008. And that's 10 years ago now, where we saw the highest prices that we've experienced in the last decade or more, and prices are at least half of what they were back then. And the big piece today, especially today, is the reliability provided by, you know, the nation's number two supplier of natural gas now, Pennsylvania, which is enormous. And I talked to in-state utilities, and they're comparing their portfolio versus their portfolio of supply compared to what's going on in New England today. Consumers will not face the reliability issues that they're facing in New England today, and certainly not the major price fluctuations that they're experiencing in New England as well.
You know, when I listen to people talk who are opponents of Marcellus Shale, I wonder how you can be an opponent of something where it appears to me you get it safely from the ground. It appears to me that you're working constantly on safety issues. It appears to me that we have new technology that gives us unbelievable access to new energy. And I wonder why anybody would really be opposed to that.
You know, Gary, I grew up in Du Bois, central Pennsylvania.
Sure.
I've lived here my whole life. I would tell you about 90% of the guys that are working, guys and girls that are working in our industry, they're Pennsylvanians. They like to hike and bike and hunt and fish and camp and do all the things that we all like to do in Pennsylvania. They want to make sure it gets done right. It's something that's fairly new to Pennsylvania. We've drilled for natural gas, you know, for decades and decades. We've been hydraulically fracturing or fracking natural gas well since the 1940s. But opponents that think that we should be moving to a more renewable renewable portfolio for energy supply have become opponents of shale gas, because in many cases, shale gas, the affordability of it has taken away the opportunity created for potentially wind and solar. I would tell you, we're a great partner with wind and solar. We don't need to be opponents, because we have an incredible appetite for energy, and God forbid if we would have had to been relying on wind and solar energy today to be able to heat our homes and cook our food and dry our clothes, because it's a pretty harsh day today.
We're just not at that point yet. I mean, you know, where it's the affordability and the reliability of it is not necessarily where it needs to be yet. And, if, you know, if we morph into that at some point, I'm good. You know, it's great. But the point is, in the interim, here we are sitting on this wealth of energy. You know, let me ask you this question. Compared to 2008, you mentioned that a few minutes ago.
Yep.
Compared to 2008, 10 years ago, what happened? I mean, what, Marcellus, why is it so much cheaper? I'm going to ask you the dumbest question in the world. About 30 seconds left in this segment.
Yeah, no problem. Back in 2008, we were producing about 180 billion cubic feet of Pennsylvania. We're now producing 5 trillion cubic feet. So we were producing a quarter of Pennsylvania's demand in 2008. We're producing a quarter of the nation's demand now in Pennsylvania. That's what's happened because of unconventional or horizontal development of natural gas resources in Pennsylvania.
More production, more demand, less cost. Am I doing the math right?
Absolutely right.
We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back and talk to you a little bit more about, you know, some of the savings here and where it's going, where Marcellus Shale is going, and maybe some of the extra costs here that are being imposed upon that, and then the impact on Pennsylvania in the long run. Dave Spiegelmeyer is with Marcellus Shale Coalition. He joins us here again in just a few minutes on WSBA Morning News with Gary Sutton. We're at 7:14. This update sponsored by Page Publishing. With Gary Sutton, it's a Friday morning, 7:17 on WSBA. We're with Dave Spiegelmeyer of the Marcellus Shale Coalition. Dave, you look at Pennsylvania and Marcellus Shale, and I guess I want to ask you how competitive we are with other states in the country in producing Marcellus Shale, and I'm particularly interested in the tax structure and some of the fees. For example, I was reading about the impact fee here, and I was just asking Mark, I couldn't remember severance tax. I don't think the severance tax thing went through on the budget this last time, but the impact fee has been there. Talk about what the impact fee does and how it really affects operating in Pennsylvania as opposed to other states.
Certainly. Back in 2012, we passed our version of a severance tax. We called it an impact tax or an impact fee. It was called Act 13, passed in February of 2012. It's generated $1.2 billion since that time, on average about $200 million a year, with a formula that takes about 60% of those proceeds and sends it out to the counties and local governments across the state. And then 40% goes into statewide programs to fund the DEP, to fund the Department of Transportation, to fund the State Fire Marshal's Office and Soil and Water Conservation District, et cetera. So, again, it's been a huge winner for counties and local governments. A little over a month ago, the governor was out announcing major projects across the state, projects that fund infrastructure development, that have kept property taxes down in some counties, that have funded rails to trails and local recreation projects. Those Marcellus Legacy Fund projects funded by Act 13 have been real. Have been a godsend for many communities across the Commonwealth. And I just think it's a bit disingenuous for folks to stand up and say, we don't have a tax. We passed Act 13 in 2012. We have a tax. We get accused at the Shale Coalition for opposing a tax, the severance tax, but it's adding a tax on top of a tax. And then back in 2012, when that impact tax passed, it says in the statute that if a severance tax passes at some future date, we'll get rid of the impact tax. Well, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about adding a tax on top of the tax. And in order to maintain our competitiveness in Pennsylvania and to make sure that we continue to have reliable and affordable supplies of natural gas in Pennsylvania, we're opposing it because we don't want to jeopardize those investments coming into the Commonwealth.
Well, at what point in time does it become redundant? I guess that's one of the questions I have, that, you know, okay, you're paying an impact fee right here that does impact the community, and it talks in here, I guess, about where unconventional natural gas development is occurring. And define for me what unconventional means here.
Yeah, conventional development that basically occurred in Pennsylvania prior to 2008 was considered vertical development. The drill
right.
bit went straight down through the core into the strata that had natural gas. Today, we have the technology and the ability to turn a drill bit horizontally. Basically, it enables us to develop far more vast amounts of natural gas under the Earth's crust with much smaller footprint. The surface footprint for one well location may be larger, but we can tap far greater amounts of acreage and produce far more natural gas. Again, like I mentioned earlier, 180 billion cubic feet of development, about a quarter of Pennsylvania's supply, with conventionally in 2008. And last year we talked 5.1 TCF per trillion cubic feet, a quarter of our nation's natural gas supply coming out of Pennsylvania's borders today. We have the most affordable and reliable energy supply on the planet today to grow manufacturing, to grow jobs and economic opportunity for Pennsylvania. So the reason we push back is I don't want to jeopardize what I would call the, excuse me, the golden egg for Pennsylvania to grow manufacturing once again in the Commonwealth.
Talk a little bit about how we are to do business here in Pennsylvania on Marcellus Shale compared to other states that, that have the same kinds of resources.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the hardest part for us is gaining the certainty and predictability for investment. We have about 35 active drilling rigs in Pennsylvania today. The Permian Basin in West Texas today and eastern New Mexico has 350 active rigs.
Wow.
So when folks say that this industry has nowhere else to invest, that the gas is here, there's nowhere else to go. If we don't have the economic equation right for investment, folks can move their investment very, very quickly. We now have competition in Ohio, in West Virginia, down in Arkansas and Louisiana, and what they call the Haynesville play, up in the Bakken in North Dakota. Operators that are active in Pennsylvania are active in those regions as well. No doubt we need to make sure it gets done with environmental precision, and we're all about that. We want to make sure it gets done correctly, but we also want to make sure it gets done in a predictable and certain way. So if folks are going to invest their money here, they have an opportunity to make money here and to grow the resource here. So, you know, right now, a permit out of the Southwest region in Pennsylvania for Earth Disturbance has taken 262 days, where over in Ohio, it takes, you know, a month to get that kind of a permit. Wow. So we're working hard to make sure that we get our A game on in terms of people being able to invest here. When those investment dollars come into Pennsylvania, those are jobs that are being created here. And that's what everybody wants, is a family wage sustaining jobs. And that's exactly what this industry is providing. It's not just folks that are drilling wells. I would tell you, when we have our meetings at the Marcellus Shale Coalition, it's the supply chain that you see that's the enormous employer in Pennsylvania. Those are the small businesses that are existing in Harrisburg and in Philadelphia and in Reading and all through the eastern part of the state, not just in areas where shale is being developed.
Well, and I think we want our government to make sure we're safe, which obviously you concur on that. But I think we also want to make sure, hey, we're not just holding things up because of various political agendas as well. And that's kind of an important thing, too, and it sounds like you're wrestling a little bit with that here in Pennsylvania.
No doubt about it. I mean, one of the major pillars of what we do at the Shale Coalition is provide training to not only our operators but supply chain. And we partner with the DEP in many of those type of trainings. We want to make sure it gets done with environmental precision, to make sure it gets done in an environmental responsible fashion. There are folks that don't want us to produce fossil fuels, and they'll try and vilify shale development all day long. And, Gary, I would invite you or others to come out and visit a well site, because I think you'll see that our folks, you know, take that responsibility very, very seriously to make sure that we drill for natural gas, that we produce natural gas and deliver natural gas, not only environmentally responsible, but also very, very safely.
Hey, I really appreciate you joining us this morning, Dave. People can check you out where? What website?
Yeah, MarcellusCoalition.org. Glad to be on your show today, Gary, and look forward to talking to you in the future, and Happy New Year.
Dave, Happy New Year to you, too, and thank you so much for taking time this morning. We appreciate it. Be safe.
Not a problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.